to the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Elon Chark here, Costa as well. Coming to you live from the Kintech studio. 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. You can keep those texts coming in. We're here with you for another 20-ish minutes before we hand you off to Canuck Central, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, going to take over at 4 o'clock. A lot to get into. We were just talking to Randeep Janda about yesterday's game and where the Canucks are at. Quinn Hughes, by the way, just dominant. Second in points for defenseman in Canucks history. He's going to be first next year, barring anything unexpected injury-wise. Fingers crossed that doesn't happen, but he's on pace for it, and he's it's going to happen at some point. He's just been amazing. But the bigger story, I would say, in the last few games, especially since coming back from injury, has been one Dakota Joshua. And Ian McIntyre spoke to Jim Rutherford, had a Q&A. You can read it at sportsnet.ca. And the question about Joshua was, is it fair to say that Dakota Joshua is at the top of your list? That was from Ian McIntyre. And the answer was a very, very short, yes, I would say he is a priority for us. And one thing Thomas Drantz mentioned in his article at the Athletic was Joshua is interested in re-signing in Vancouver. That would be his choice. And also Rick Dhaliwal mentioning today, though, we got to read the tea leaves a bit on this one, that Joshua's agent has been ghosting Rick Dhaliwal for 24 hours now. So all of that maybe seems to lead towards a potential, like, hey, if I had to bet on one guy getting re-signed in the next few weeks or in the next couple weeks before the regular season is over, I would put my money on Dakota Joshua, especially based on how he's played since coming back from injury. And not only that, like, you're not paying a guy based on three games, but what they missed without him in the lineup, whether it be his size or just that line in general, and his kind of chemistry with Connor Garland and Teddy Bluger when they're together, but playing with JT Miller right now, regardless, the duo with Garland has been very, very effective. It just feels like he's quickly rising up the ranks in terms of must sign. And one thing I was talking about with Dom in the past couple days has been, he's such a rare player, and it's so hard to find guys like him that I think you have to be okay with overpaying a little bit, especially because, look, when you talk about other pending UFAs for the Canucks, whether it be someone like Sam Lafferty or, not Phil DiGiuseppe, he's still signed for another year, but someone like Sam Lafferty, you know, bottom six guys who aren't necessarily doing much outside of their 5-on-5 play. And Lafferty, he's had moments this year, but he hasn't been amazing, especially recently. He's still fast. He still brings some things, and I'm fine having him in the lineup. But he's not nearly as valuable as Dakota Joshua. And it's easy to replace a guy like Lafferty, maybe with someone like Arshdeep Bains next year if he takes another step. Or, you know, like we saw Vasily Podkolzin make the jump this year. There are guys like that in Abbotsford who would be ready to take that step. There's nobody like Joshua in the Canucks organization right now who can come in and fill the role that he is filling, especially at the size he is. And look, the Canucks, they're not a big team, especially up front. To lose a guy like that would be very, very detrimental. And it would be very hard to replace, especially a guy, not only are you looking at his size, but he can kill penalties effectively. He's been really good there. His offense has seen an uptick. Me personally, I don't think this is a career year. I think if you keep playing him in some top 6 minutes, he can be very, very effective. And also, I'd like to see what he can do on the power play. Like, I just feel like he has this untapped potential that we haven't seen yet. And that's why I would be A-okay with paying him a little bit more than what we might have thought it would have been even a couple weeks ago.
So, Josh, let's look ahead a little bit here. You say you want to pay Joshua what it will take. Can you give me a range, a ballpark number, your max that you are willing to go for the Canucks to sign Joshua?
By the way, I'm team overpay any Joshua ever, by the way, just so we're all clear. In terms of overpaying a Josh, or I was going to say overpaying a Josh. In terms of overpaying Joshua, I don't know what my line is. I want to say, like, 3.5 is where I'd be comfortable. 3.5 million for 3 or 4 years. That's a big raise for him, and I feel like it would be hard for him to say no to that. If you go up to 3.75, I can probably convince myself that I'm okay with it. Once you get up to 4 million is where I start to get very, very concerned. Not very, very. But I get concerned, and I think that's where you got to say, hey, you know what? Go test the open market. See if that's out there for you. And if it is, good for you. I do feel like there's going to be teams, especially if he plays well in the playoffs, falling over themselves to sign Dakota Joshua. And again, it goes back to how rare of a player he is. And that's a guy that, like, GMs can just convince themselves to fall in love with. We saw Ryan Reeves get multiple years on a contract, and he is bad at hockey.
He doesn't put up points.
He's
like
so
Joshua.
Not good. And Dakota Joshua, yeah, he puts up points. He contributes offensively. He's actually very good on the penalty kill. And look, he's not a huge fighter like Ryan Reeves or you know, some of the bigger guys around the NHL that might be a comparable size to Dakota Joshua. But he still has that in him. He still finishes his checks. He still plays physical. So teams are going to convince themselves that they should overpay someone like him, especially if he does well in the playoffs. So that's also why I'm like, hey, if you can get a contract done with him before the regular season is over, I think you might save a bit of money there as well. And also, it just he's the guy. He's the one UFA. And I know Teddy Bluger is a UFA as well. I know they have a few UFA defensemen. He's the UFA that needs to be at the top of your priority list. And if you lose every other UFA but him, I can live with it.
Josh, this is from Drance today on Canucks Talk. Quote, someone, if he hits the open market, is going to go to the nth degree to try and land, even if it means paying him as much as $4 million, and that is not a controversial take, end quote. Now, having heard that, if you have to pay him $4 million, are you still going to pay him that?
Depends on the years. If it's like 2 years, $4 million, or maybe even 3 years, $4 million, I can get on board with it. It's the thing about Joshua that would concern me would be the term. If you're giving him 4 or 5, or like if a team is crazy enough to give him 6 years, that's when I get... That's where my issues start to arise. If you do 2 or 3 years at $4 million, I think that's a lot on a per year basis, and that might mess up your kind of cap structure over those 2 or 3 years. But I can understand it. I would just much rather than figure out a way to, because like we talk about it a lot, is the main concern for players is total money. And I think what I'd be looking at is somewhere between 11 to 12 million. So 3 years, $4 million, I can get on board with. 4 years, $3 million would be my preference. But something in and around that range is what I feel is fair for him. And again, I do think, and to Drance's point, teams are going to want to pay him. So maybe he decides that he wants to test the market, make as much money as he can, all the power to him. We'll see how it goes. I just, $4 million makes me worry a little bit. But again, it depends on the term is kind of where I fall with that. 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line, Colin from the Caribou. My take on re-signing Joshua, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I'm totally okay with giving Joshua $4 million per year and term. It might make people cringe at paying that for a bottom six forward, but I see him growing into a legitimate top six forward, and it could easily be one of the best value contracts in the league. And remember, most great contracts start as uncomfortable when initially signed, and the cap will rise. And that's, I agree with part of it. I don't know if I give him $4 million per year and term, mainly because like I just don't think you have to, unless there's something much bigger out there for him on the market than I'm anticipating. I feel like $4 million and term, he doesn't have enough of a resume to fully get that. But what I will say, and what I agree with Colin here, is it might feel uncomfortable to pay a bottom six forward like that, to pay a bottom six forward more than just a couple million, especially when they haven't really had minutes in the top six. But I do agree that he can grow into that. And I go back to there's untapped potential there with Joshua, especially 5-on-5. Like, I think he can be a top six forward and he can play on the power play. So I just, I'd be okay with overpaying him a little bit just based on trying to tap into some of that potential as well. 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. This one, AP and Langley. Canucks will save on bringing up Shelovs, Ratu, and Baines next year. That will go towards some of our players like Joshua. And that's the other part as well, is you're going to have to make sacrifices in other areas to bring back someone like Dakota Joshua. But also you have guys like Shelovs, like Atu Ratu, and like Arshdeep Baines, who you want to see graduate into the NHL next season anyway, or at least spend a decent amount of time in Vancouver. And so this also gives you the opportunity to, those are going to be your guys who are on very low cap hits. They're supposed to exceed their value, and you'll see what you have in them. You have to make some bets. Losing Joshua would just be, it would be a tough blow for a team that doesn't have anyone that's really ready to take over for him right now. This is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Elon Chark here, Costa Pappas as well. Coming to you live from the Kintec studio. So that's all the hockey stuff that we got for today. We did want to get into some other stuff as well. So I don't know if you saw this today. The Oakland Athletics, they're going to be playing in Sacramento for the next few seasons at I believe the ballpark holds 19,000 people, and they can add some seats in the outfield to make it a little bigger. But they're, John Fisher, their owner, was talking today in Sacramento, and he had some things to say.
We're excited to be here for the next 3 years, playing in this beautiful ballpark, but also being able to watch some of the greatest players in baseball, whether they be athletics players or Aaron Judge and others, launch home runs out of this very intimate, the most intimate ballpark in all of Major League Baseball for the next 3 years.
What are you doing, John Fisher?
I'm sorry. Aaron Judge to hit home runs in this ballpark?
You're excited to watch the opposition hit home runs? What Bush League stuff? Like, we talk about that. We saw yesterday with the Arizona Coyotes. We're like, man, this is embarrassing for the league. This owner of the Athletics, not only do they, like, they don't have a, they're going to Vegas. It's going to take many years to fully get that stadium built, to fully be ready for them to move to Vegas. They've just mishandled this whole situation. It's such a mess. And now the owner, who we already knew was like, hey, he's not a great owner. People in Oakland obviously hate him. And now he's out here saying that he's excited to watch other teams hit home runs against the Athletics. That's insane. Imagine Francesco Aquilini doing a press conference and being like, man, I can't wait to watch Connor McDavid score on the Canucks.
Look, I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to sell the idea of the park, trying to sell it to the city. But come on, man. Use one of your own players.
Yeah, but also, like, name an Athletics player, you know? Like
Austin Adams.
Austin Adams, sure.
He's a pitcher.
Yeah, he's not hitting dingers there, that's for sure. Yeah, I get it. I get that you're trying to hype it up. But at least just be like, oh, I'm excited to see the Athletics win in Sacramento and hit some dingers. Everyone loves dingers. But don't bring up players on other teams. That is silly, man. And even just moving to Sacramento, the other part of this, by the way, they're not going to be called the Sacramento Athletics while they're there. They're just going to be called the Athletics or the A's. What are we doing? Just go by, like, you don't have a city name? What do you mean?
It's like Washington football team, but the opposite.
Yeah, Washington football team at least was, like, cool, I think. Because you, like, and look, you're still repping the city you're from.
If you are playing in a city, your home city, you should have the name attached.
Or at least just be like, okay, we're going to go by the California Athletics.
Has this ever happened in sports before?
Not
maybe somebody can text in.
Yeah, someone text in. Someone do the research for us, please. 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. I don't think it's happened. Maybe way back in the day, but it's just insane, man. 650-650, this one. Nice and cozy, like Mullet Arena. That's essentially what it's going to be like. Baseball, like John Fisher saw the Coyotes getting ripped for playing in a college stadium, and he was like, you know what? I'm going to do that as well for 3 years before I move the team to a completely different city. At least in Arizona, they're like, hey, we're doing this because we're trying to stay here and we're trying to figure it out. We want to stay in Arizona. We want to stay in Phoenix and we want to make this work. In baseball or with the Athletics, they're just like, ah, we're leaving, but we don't really have anywhere to play. So we're going to play here and this is good. It's all going to be okay. You're going to be okay with it. This is fine. It's just so, it's so dumb, man. So dumb and mishandled to a crazy degree. Matt and Surrey text in 650, 650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Seriously, this whole Athletics going to Vegas thing is hilarious. I know the guys make bazillions of dollars, but I wouldn't want to spend hours standing in the middle of the outfield in Vegas when it's like 50 degrees day after day after day. That would be horrendous. I do think they'll have air conditioning, whatever. They play baseball in Arizona. They play baseball in California. California is a little bit nicer, but it is like baseball in Vegas, but it's going to be tough, man. Even in Arizona, I think, wasn't there something about their building is melting in some areas? Like, this is crazy, man. It's just, you're doing too much. 650, 650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Keep those texts coming in. Elon is here as well. And you're a Bills fan, Elon. We haven't had you on. You were just in Vegas, by the way. How was Vegas?
Yeah, it was nice. Aside from the Canucks' effort on the ice.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Everything else was great. But while you were away, noted Bills fan, the Bills traded Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans for basically just a second-round pick. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so Josh, I actually landed. I turned off airplane mode, as one does. Mm-hmm. And I get the notification, Stephon Diggs traded to the Houston Texans. I let out an audible gasp. The people around me, what's going on? You know, Stephon Diggs was just traded from the Bills. Oh, okay. Anyways, it seems like a long time brewing. There's always drama with Diggs. None of it really got out as to what it really was. He wanted more targets. He's kind of a diva, as one would say.
Yeah, and are you going to get more targets?
Well, this is the
Houston
issue, Josh. I don't care about off-field issues. Him and Josh were buddies.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. I care about what's the product on the field, right? Diggs, when he came in 2020, it was Josh Allen's third season.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what catapulted Josh to elite status. Every year, Diggs had over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns every single year. He was Josh Allen's guy.
Yeah.
And to be an elite quarterback, you kind of need a guy if you want to get far, right?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't gone to the Super Bowl. Where do we stand now? Aside from Diggs, we've lost, you know, Jordan Poyer, Trey White, Mitch Morris, Gabe Davis, another receiver, Leonard Floyd. I could go on and on, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different team this year. And you know what it kind of reminds me of? I think they're taking the Green Bay Packers route right now. You have a young quarterback, relatively young, entering his prime, in his prime. They're getting rid of some of the vets, and they're going to go young with the draft. They have Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir are their receivers. You are not going into the season with that.
You better not.
There's no chance, right? So they're going to draft a receiver in the first round, kind of what Green Bay did a couple years ago. And they're going to be younger. They're going to be faster, away from the drama, lean on Josh Allen. That's where we're going.
It feels like they're doing the Patrick Mahomes thing, where it's like, oh, he'll find someone to throw to. It's fine. And they have a good tight end as well, Dalton Kincaid,
yep.
But at least Kansas City won before doing that. I don't know. It feels weird, and it feels like they have to draft a guy, or they have to find another trade.
Stacked wide receiver draft classes here.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting younger. I'm not worried because when you have one of the best quarterbacks in the game, they'll figure it out.
Do you ever think about how the pick the Bills traded for Stephon Diggs was the pick used for Justin Jefferson, or?
Very even trade. It sucks now.
One of them is working out pretty well right now.
Statistically, they were very similar.
Yeah, for sure.
Jefferson's one of them better because he's younger.
And has a lot less drama.
And the rumor is that they were going after T. Higgins, the Bills.
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting.
They can't afford him.
No.
So they're going to go in the first round, trade up, get one of these young studs. And that's where we are. That's where we stand.
650, 650. One more text. So someone also went to the game in Vegas. Thought it was kind of stale. Didn't have a great atmosphere. What did you think of the arena in Vegas?
I thought it was a great atmosphere.
Hmm.
It's a lot of energy. Very loud when you got the PA guy when Vegas scores 6 goals yelling at you that they scored. Yeah. But I disagree with that texture. I thought it was a very exciting arena if you're a Vegas fan.
Fair enough. That is Elon Shark. Costa was here as well. Appreciate both of you guys doing the work behind the scenes. And everyone texting in as well, 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Everyone listening to. Coming up next, Canuck Central, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. I have been Josh Elliott-Wolf. This has been The People Show on Sportsnet 650.